If you'd like to follow the reading, which is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse, it's at page 1041 in the Pew Bible. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and you are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you.' Be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more unbearable on that day for Sodom than for that town."
So last week we started a new series in looking at mission, looking at missional church, and just thinking around what our mission as a church looks like for Musselburgh and the surrounding areas. And I found this passage of the sending of the 72 quite interesting, especially that Jesus sends out two at a time, two by two. It reminded me of the song for Noah's Ark. But it reminded me of a story when I was a teenager. I was walking with one of my friends to the church that we were at. We were going to the church. There was a coffee shop in the church. And as we were walking up the steps, these two guys stopped us. I had no idea who they were, never seen them before, and they just started talking to us about the Bible and about Jesus. And me being a teenager, being pretty, well, I was quite quiet back then, not so much now. They started talking to us, and my friend, fortunately for him, he was quite happy to talk. Couldn't get a word in edgeways most of the time. He still doesn't know my name. But as the chat came to an end, one of the guys turned to me and said, "I know exactly what you've been doing while we've been stood here talking. You've been praying for your friend, sharing the gospel." And that hit me in the chest like absolutely crazy. Because all I could see behind these guys was my mum, who was packing up the coffee shop, who had saved me a piece of leftover cake. And to be honest, that's what I was looking forward to. But this idea of sending of two people going on mission together, we see it, it's biblical. It's Jesus is sending two by two, he's sending the 72. But I think that this passage is much more than that. It's much bigger than that. I think that it's more like a training mission. He's sending these people out to support each other, to love each other, then to go and share his word in the times that he is going to. We've got no idea who the 72 actually were. We know that they were keen followers of Jesus and that they wanted to spread his word. They wanted to share the love that he had and the stories that they had experienced. So we don't see much of an explanation. But actually, the 72, there's a high chance that actually relates back to Genesis. when you see they're listed, the nations. We know that the year is around about 29 AD, and the crucifixion was 30 AD. So it wasn't that long before Jesus' death that this was actually happening. But one person actually said that maybe Jesus recognizes that he has not got a lot of time left, and there was still so much work to actually do. So he gathered people who he knew would share the gospel that he had to share. And off he goes and he sends them. But these ideas of sending people in twos, as I was looking at this, I found it quite interesting, because my experience is one talks and I stay silent. Whereas actually, this idea of going two by two is so much more than that. So the idea of going two by two shows an element of unity. So I'm currently working on unity within Musselburgh. I'm trying to work with the Church of Scotland. I've got good relationships with St. Peter's, not St. Peter's, St. Andrew's High. Good relationships starting to build with North Esk Church, and hopefully we'll start to build relationships with St. Michael's. But that started by speaking to the workers, the volunteers. It started by speaking to Ewan, who is the youth and kids worker for the whole presbytery. We're working together to go into Pinky St. Peter's. And I don't know if anyone of you know that actually, apparently I heard the story that Pinky St. Peter's school started from here, from this church, which I thought was quite amazing. So actually to have that relationship back, I think that's actually pretty cool. So it's biblical for us to work together. Obviously we have the denominational differences, but when it comes to the Word of God, it doesn't make much of a difference. We're here to spread God's Word. We're here to spread the good news of Jesus. Philippians 2, 1-2 says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." If we've found rejoice in Jesus, if we've found rejoice in Jesus' love, then let's be unified by that together. And through the outworking of unity, it teaches others of the joy that we have found. We see that the sending two together, Jesus is demonstrating that there is an agreement, that there is a harmony between these people. And then the sending two, it also demonstrates truth. We can go and we can chat to someone on the street and maybe we will impact their life, but actually someone else coming will also demonstrate the truth, that they can confirm what is being said. I remember being a street pastor, streets of Edinburgh, until 4 a.m. in the morning. And it was actually really good fun to be able to speak to other people. And I remember standing next to one of my colleagues on street pastors, and he was having a conversation with a girl. She was clearly under the influence of alcohol. So she was actually trying to have an argumentative conversation with him about how the Bible isn't true. And what I was able to do while I was stood next to him was to actually help his conversation, to aid his conversation. I was able to support what he was saying. And we were able to offer prayer for this girl. We have conversations with people, and people just are just left going, sometimes people are just left going, yeah, whatever. But then when someone comes to tell you the same story, it just confirms what's already been said. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. There's a scholar called Adam Clark, and he says that in the mouths of two witnesses, everything might be established. So we've been told here that through the witness of two people, that the kingdom of God is being established. And we see in the book of Acts, we see Paul who travels with him and one other. He's always with somebody else. And he's able to share what God has got to say to people. So in Acts 16, 25, 28, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So this is when Paul and Silas were in prison. And the other prisoners were listening to them. I can imagine that if there was just Paul sat there and he was singing, he might have sounded a bit like a nut. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." So we see here, we see Paul, he's working with somebody else. Through the prayer of both of them, through the worship of both of them, they influence this God. But even though for Paul and Silas that things weren't going as well as they maybe had hoped, because they found themselves in prison together, they're able to demonstrate the love of Jesus to the prison guard. So working together demonstrates truth. And also, going in twos, you can support each other. One situation that I really, really don't like is interviews. I hate interviews. Sitting in front of a panel of people and you're telling them every single little thing about yourself as to why you should have this job. I mean, it's just nerve-wracking. I remember sitting in, I used to work in IT, and I was in an interview in Lincoln. It was Lincoln College, and I sat in front of the IT manager. And oh my word, that was the most difficult interview I had ever had. He had no facial expressions. If ever I said something, he just went, And I just sat in front of this guy like, I didn't get that job. He was not interested in me. I didn't answer these questions very well. A few days later, I got the phone call, got the job. But still, just that whole situation. Even when I had my last interview for my last job, my line manager at the time was exactly the same. He didn't have any facial expressions. If I'm talking to someone, I try to smile. I try to make a joke occasionally. Sometimes it doesn't really work. But what I'm saying is actually, in that moment, I'm alone. It's just me. And it's scary. You're selling yourself. You don't want to look like a fool in front of these people that you're potentially going to be working for. Sometimes it feels like you're in front of a panel of wolves. But coming home to my sanctuary, my castle, knowing that I'm going to have Mel and Daniel there who are ready to love and support me and to build me back up again. After I've just given out so much, they're ready to support me and build me back up again. So being together is really important. One Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Jesus recognizes that going out to do the work that he's asking of these 72 people is no easy task. He recognizes that, and he sends them together It's not always going to be encouraging. With this journey, a bit of discouragement occasionally. Imagine if we'd gone into, if I had gone into Pinky on my own and no one spoke to me. We got in with all that cake and no one ate it. They just looked and went, "You're a little bit weird. I'm not coming anywhere near you. Why are you giving me this?" But I actually went in with three other people. So if that had happened, we could have supported each other and encouraged each other. But actually, as this passage says, when you enter the house, peace be with you. And if that peace falls and you're accepted, that's where you're supposed to minister. So we've gone into Pinky and we've just loved people, and that peace has arrived there and they're ready to work back with us. So being together is important. But as well, it says in verse 2 that the workers are few. So Jesus sends them in twos because the workers are few. The more that are willing to go, the more work that can be done. Has everyone heard of Marco Polo? Yeah? So Marco Polo's father. So Marco Polo is one of the most famed explorers in history. It seems he inherited the travel bug from his father. In 1260, when Marco Polo was 6, his father and uncle traveled to Mongolia, part of the modern-day China. When they arrived there, the Mongolo emperor revealed an interest in Christianity. He asked the brothers to take a letter to the Pope requesting as many as 100 wise men to spread the gospel among his subjects. 3 years later, the brothers arrived home, and 2 years later set out on their return trek. Did they take 100 wise men with them? No, just 2 friars, for this was all the church felt they could spare. And even those 2 didn't make it, turning back shortly into their journey. What a tragedy. Imagine if Kublai's request had been fulfilled. Perhaps the whole history of China may have been different. So again, here we see this going in twos. For those guys, it may not have worked out. But actually, we go in twos to encourage each other. Might have only taken 1 of those 2 and their journey wouldn't have stopped. It would have continued into China. So we need to go where Jesus sends us. But we need to do it together. We need to work together. When the journey gets tough, we lift each other up. But at times we need to return to the safe place. So for me, interviews, returning to the safe place is home. But for us as a church, returning to the safe place is this building. It's this family. It's everyone that you see sat around you. We come here on a Sunday to be encouraged, to be built up, to then be sent out again into the week to do the work of Jesus. And we see it in verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." So as we think about this, let's take a look around the room. Let's see who is the other person we're going to go with. Who are we going to go on mission with? Who are we going to go and spread the love of God with? Let's make our church a safe haven. A place where we can come and we can get energy. We can be built up. That when we're feeling down, we know we're going to get encouragement from the people who are here. We're going to get love from the people that are here. So who is your partner? Not so much partner in crime, but partner in love. Who's going to support you on your journey as we go and we share the gospel with others?